This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Stimmler on the first Yahrzeit of the Dear Father. Mr. Wally Stimmler, Leilu Nishmosai, Yisrael Zeiv Ben Reb Tzvi Osher Stimmler, a Torah Way regular who is sorely missed. Yutes Tavis, Thursday the 27th of December, Dr. Sholem Springer. Parsha theme.
Good morning to you all. Since we are in the week of the beginning of Sefer Shemais, I'd like to give an introduction in the words of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. I know many years ago I've done it before, but because I think it is such a powerful vort, I'd like to do it again. And it takes place in the middle of Seder Shemais, where Kodesh Baruch Hu gives quite a long discourse, has a discourse with Moshe Rabbeinu, and tells him all the things he's going to do. Eye Imach, Zer Ois, Erkeh Asher Erkeh, those famous words, Lecho Sabta Zikne Yisrael, Ale Eschem Me'on Mitzrayim, and it goes on and, well, on and on. It does say quite a lot. V'shomo L'kei Lecha, V'ani Yodati K'leith Nesem Melech Mitzrayim, etc. Quite a long speech by the Rabbeinu Shloilom. And at the end of all that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yad Moshe V'yoymeh, V'hein lo yaminu li, they won't believe me, v'lo yishma b'koili, and they won't listen to my voice, ki yomru lo nire lech Hashem. They'll say, the Rabbeinu Shalom never appeared to you. This is of your own making. And then follows a story, which is a very strange story, because it sounds like, I use these words, with a bit of hesitation, like a children's story. What happens then next? Because Moshe says to Moshe, what's in your hand? Well, obviously Moshe knows what's in Moshe Rabbeinu's hand. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, mate, a stick. Says Hashem, hashlicheu arzo, throw it on the ground. Vayashlicheu arzo. And he throws it on the ground. Vayhina nochosh. And it becomes a snake. It's a writhing snake. Dangerous animal. Vayonos Moshe miponov. And Moshe runs away from this snake, as one does. Vayomeshem Moshe, shlach yodcha. Stretch out your hand. Ve'echoiz biznovoi. And grasp its tail. Vayishlach yodoi. And he stretches out his hand. Vichazik boy. And he grips it. Becomes a stick again in his hand. So we have stick, snake, stick. What's this all about? Sounds to be a very odd story, as one which is the Rabbeinu Shalom's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu, which was Lo Yaminu Li, Lo Yishma Koili. And Rav Hirsch says a vort, which I think sets the scene for the whole of the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. This is the message. That a stick represents something throughout history, both in storybooks and in general. It's got two functions, a stick. One is power, yeah, waving the big stick. And that's always something that's associated with a powerful person, a stick in their hand. But also a stick is something we lean on when we get a bit wobbly, a little bit older, can't walk so well, so we lean on a stick. So the stick represents two things. It represents power, and it represents support. It has those two functions. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is telling Moshe, what is that in your hand? It's a stick. So we now know that the stick represents those two functions, power and support. Says the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you think you have a power base, a support, for in a moment, in a jiffy, in a blink of an eye, I can change what you think of as your power base and your support into something that you fear, which is the very opposite, something you have to run away from. It's certainly not your power base, and it certainly won't support you. A snake can't be less of a support and less of a power to you than anything else. So you think now that that won't support you, that's an enemy. In a moment, I can change what is to you an enemy, something that frightens you, back into a power base and a support. So we have stick, snake, stick, and therefore, this is the message. All your assumptions are wrong. Go to Paro. Here's a king sitting on his throne, immovable, him, his father, his grandfather, immovable, most powerful nation at the time. No slave ever escaped from Egypt, and they were a very powerful nation. There's Paro sitting solidly on his throne, immovable. He's never going to be moved by anything. Go to Paro and you'll see that he's going to be very movable indeed. Time will come when he'll be running through the streets begging for some help from you. That's message number one. Go and tell Paro that you better be careful, because things are coming which will change your whole situation from being that powerful person. And also the second message, go to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, downtrodden. If we think about it for a moment, Klal Yisrael, this is the 209th year of their slavery. There's 1 year of miracles, etc. They went out in the 210th. Which means, if you divide that number by 25, which is approximately a generation, that Klal Yisrael have been in Mitzrayim for 8 generations. Which means that anyone born in Mitzrayim at that time, living in Mitzrayim at that time, I'm a slave, my father was a slave, my grandfather was my great-grandfather, going back 8 generations. So what do you think a member of Klal Yisrael would think? There's never going to be any change to this at all. Generations going back have been slaves. It's going to always be like this. I'm a slave and my kids are going to be slaves. My grandchildren are going to be slaves. Go and give them a new message, Moshe. Go and give them a, your assumptions are wrong. I'm going to turn it all on its head. You're going to walk out of Mitzrayim, a proud people. Be'od chazoka. You're going to walk out of Mitzrayim with your head held high shortly. So there's a message for Paro and a message for Klal Yisrael. All your assumptions are wrong. The stick can become a snake and the snake can become a stick. And that really is the message of, if you like, the book of Exodus. Yeah, the book of Sefer Geula, which is Sefer Shemais. What I want to talk about, that was, if you like, a little introduction to the Sefer. I'd like to talk about something which I can only call, let's title the Shia, safe space. We sometimes need safe space. It's also a modern word and it has other connotations sometimes. But let's have a look at what is, for us, a safe space. And I've particularly chosen this subject, this particular week, which contains the date 25th of December, which we all know is in the outside world a very special date. And therefore, we have been affected by it throughout the ages, and what we need to do is create for ourselves a special space. And we go back to the psukim, some psukim in Bereishis. I'll just quote bits of those psukim and get the general idea out of it, which is that in those sedras, Vayigash, one of them before, Mikates, Vayomer Paro el Yosef, Emor l'chicha. Excuse me. Paro gives a message to Yosef. Tell your brothers, Kuchus Avichem, Vespotechem, come along, come to Mitzrayim. It's an invitation. Uboya live etnolachem es tuv eretz Mitzrayim. Paro promises the brothers, I am going to give you a place which is tuv eretz Mitzrayim, the best place in Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, what is this best place in Mitzrayim? Says Rashi, this is Goyshe, none other than Goyshe. Tuv eretz Mitzrayim. I know Goyshen. But Yom Yosef al Echov, and then some other psukim a little later on, he gives over the message, when Paro calls over to you and asks you, what's your profession, what's your trade? We are sheep people, yeah, we deal with sheep, we are shepherds. In order that Paro will give you Goyshen, because it's far away, not connected. And you should ask, perhaps we could live in Goshen. I will give you the best part for your father, for your brothers, for Shoba Beretz Goshen, for Teshuvah Goshen, and will live in Goshen, Nochemul Goshen, Goshen all the time. It's mentioned so many times in this psukim. There's obviously, I suggest, something very special about this place called Goshen. We'll find out what it is. And then Menvov, Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim, Beretz Goshen, Vayeochsu Bo. And they gripped, they grasped the land. Vayeochsu Bo. This is a special word, Vayeochsu Bo. It's achuzo. It's the same word as achuzo. Same word as oiches, to grip. And Rav Hirsch, when it's talking about Moros and Machpelah, Avraham Avinu is buying the Moros and Machpelah, Rav Hirsch explains this word oiches. Now, oiche means to grasp something, which you can do with your hand. So, a movable object is something you can grip and grasp. But there's one thing you can't grasp, and that is land. You can't grasp land. Yeah? So why is the word achuzah mentioned in connection with land? And Rav Hirsch says something quite magical. He says it's not the person who grips and grasps the land, it's the land that grips the person. Because if you want to know from your plot of land in Africa, you've got to go to Africa. So it always draws you back to it. It grasps you, not you grasp it. That's the situation with real estate. That you have had to, if you want an hour out of it, you've got to be there. And especially in Achuzah's Keva, the land actually covers the person, you know, in that particular example. So, we've got this word here, that this Goshen, they gripped it, grasped it, that means they were very much part of it. And we shall see what's going on here as far as this land is concerned. Now, there's a Rambam that tells us the following. Before we say that, let me just tell you what the Kleyoko says about this land of Goshen. And he says, it's a posh pshat, it's rochok min hayishuv. It's very far away from the general populace of Mitzrayim. And therefore, we wanted the Yidden to be a little bit removed. Yosef wanted the Yidden to be removed. And therefore, Goshen is the place you should be because it's a little bit out of town, a little bit far away. You will not get influenced. So therefore, we have Klal Yisrael in one place, in this place called Goshen, so that we should be insulated from the hashpah of Mitzrayim, and we shall have a safe space in Goshen that we won't have the influences. Mitzrayim, maybe we know it's Shtuvei Zimah, it's a place where a lot of sort of activities went on, which are not hardly sort of Jewish concern. And so therefore Yosef gave them advice, say you are shepherds, and that would be something that is abhorrent. So the Egyptians anyway, so they'll want to remove you, you want to be removed, they want to remove you. And therefore, it's really a Musa Haskel that as long as we're in Golus and we're surrounded by influences of all sorts that we don't want those influences. It is incumbent upon us to create a space where we are not affected by these influences as much as we can. There's a story about Chassam Sofer, Taka, bring it because it was Nittelnacht. There's a story about Nittelnacht. Chassam Sofer's minute was to try and sleep before midnight and then get up at midnight and start learning from then onwards. When he got up, he wasn't sure whether he could start learning. He used to hold his hands over his ears. And when the Talmidim came in, he used to ask them, I don't know whether you understand German, haben die Glocken schon aufgehört? Which in English is, have those bells stopped ringing? He couldn't stand the sound of those ringing bells on Xmas night. So he held his hands until the Talmidim says, it's okay, you can start learning. Right? He wanted to be away from the influences and what general, the signal and the message that those bells were giving. And in general, I'd like to read you a little bit from Hilchos Deos in the Rambam, which the Rambam gives us some advice of how and why we should stay away from the wrong influences. The Rambam, Hilchos Deos, Perek Vov, Siv Aleph, Derech B'yosa Shel Odom, it is natural for a person, Nimshach B'deyosa Masov, Acha Reov V'chaveiro. We have what we call a herd instinct. We like to be a member of the club, we like to be part of the community, and it is a general behavior of people to be Nimshach, to be drawn by the mores and by the culture of those people who are around us, our friends, and the place we are. Noe Kaminagancha B'dinosoi, we behave like the people in our country, so, you know, we want to behave as a bit of English, want to speak good English, we want to behave and dress in a certain way that we aren't completely looking, don't completely look different. And therefore a person should make special efforts that he should befriend tzaddikim and he should dwell among chachomim tomit k'day sheyilmoid mimaseihem, so that we should learn from their ways. V'yisurachet min ha-rishoyim, and we should distance ourselves from rishoyim ha-holchim ha-choshech, who walk in the darkness, k'day sheyilmoid mimaseihem, so that we shouldn't learn their ways, because if we are next to them and near them, then we will learn from their ways. Hu sheshloim ma'ayma ha-holech, yachachomim yachachem, v'roya k'silim yiroya. So Shlomo HaMelech already sort of tells us that we should do that, and the Rambam puts it very plainly and simply that if they're bad people, Yisrachet Mehem, good people, Chavzah, Oimer Asher Yish, etc. Shlomo HaMelech b'das Yosha. Chayin Oimer b'Medina, that in a country, she manhogas roim, that where they minhogim, their customs are bad, the people don't go in an upright way, then a person should move house, and go to somewhere where the people are noig b'derech toivim. And you hear all the places around are not behaving in the right way, says the Rambam. In Rambam's time, apparently that was the case. We can't go to the Medina, to the country, or to the town, where their minhogim are good, and nice, and upright, because he's too ill, too sick, or there's problems on the way. Then the person should live alone. Be a hermit, says the Rambam, become a hermit. If you can't find a place where the people are nice, we live around you, become a hermit. Stay alone, yidoim, and be silent. That's how you should live. And Rambam's not finished. And he says, the people surrounding you, surrounding this place, are really bad. They don't allow you in peace. They don't leave you in peace. They keep on badgering you. That they want you to join in, they want you to come down to the pub or whatever it might be in Cain, and they will only leave you alone and kimnero moim, and as you mix with them, b'minhogam ha-ro, yetze lib'oros v'lechuchim lib'oros. Then go and live in the desert. Go and live in a cave, says the Rambam. You shouldn't be among people who are not proper and not suitable. Al yina gatzma v'derech ha-toim, yina shenema, b'yibnenma b'edbo, b'oloim o'rechim. So the Rambam really doesn't pull his punches here, and he tells us that we should be absolutely sure that we have a safe space for ourselves, that we can behave in such a manner that we have the right people around us, and that we shouldn't join in with people who are not suitable. There is Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that begins to introduce us to the safe space that we want to talk about today, which is Eretz Goshen. And there's something special about Goshen, which predates the time that Klal Yisrael moved in there. And it's like this. Rabbi Tarfon Oina, Ba'oisa halayla shenil kacho soro imenu. On that night that Paroi took Soro into his house, Oisa halayla leil Pesach hoyu. That night was Seder night. That was leil Pesach. Ve'evi ha-Kodesh Baruch Ha-Paroi val-Besoi negoim gedoilim. Rabbi Shalom visited upon Paroi and his house, the Goyim Gedolim, doesn't specify what they were. Maybe the house shook with all the noises and the lightning and the thunder. The Goyim Gedolim, lo idea, to advise him, Shekeinu osid lahakos es Mitzrayim ben Goyim Gedolim, that the future was going to be that there would be the Goyim Gedolim, great plagues visited on Egypt. Rabbi Shuv ben Korcha Oimer, me avoso oiso. Pare loved sorrow, and Pare Kosov law, stark super kol mamoino. He wrote over all his possessions, all his wealth, to Soro Imenu. Ben Kesev, Ben Zov, Ben Avodim, Ben Karkoas, everything. Gold, silver, Avodim, land.
the Kosov-Law as Eretz Goshen. And he wrote over to her, Eretz Goshen l'achuzo. Got that word again, achuzo. And the meaning here is that Nevikoch Yeshu Yisroel be'Eretz Goshen. That's why Klal Yisroel were always meant to live in Goshen, because it was a possession of Sora Imenu. She'ishol Sora Imenu, Mefarshar Adal, she'kol yeser ha'matonis nidna l'sora b'vah. All the other matonis, the gold, the silver, the kakos, the avodim, were given to Sora as her personal wealth. But Goshen, acheres Goshen, nidna l'achuzo. Achuzo means that it's an inheritance to be passed on from generation to generation, and that is going to be the land of Yisrael. It's like an embassy. Yeah, there's going to be something that Sora has, but she's going to pass it on to her children and grandchildren, and that's why it's so special for Klal Yisrael, because it's Achuzo. That means it's ours. Like an embassy. You know, an embassy is part of the territory of the land that it represents. So the embassy of Zambia belongs to Zambia. It's not England, it's Zambian territory. Or whatever. So this is the point about, we now have the secret of Goshen, and why the idea is that Klal Yisrael should live there, because it meant that we were a place which is our own, which was from Sora Imenu, and therefore that has special significance for us. And therefore, this is the idea, the general idea, that we are talking about in relation to the fact that Klal Yisrael always needs to protect itself. And we have this forerunner, this Goshen, this land, and therefore that is special for us and gives us a general hanhoga and a musa, the way the Rambam's told us, the way we should make sure that we have. Now, this word, Goshen, is interesting. It occurs actually in Sefer Vayigash, among other places. And in all cases where we have Gimel Shin, which in Vayigash, that means that Yehuda drew close to Yosef, as we know, it always signifies some sort of chibur. And therefore, in giving Sora this particular place, Goshen, it was meant to create a chibur, a connection between Para and Sora. That's why he gave it to her. Well, Sora didn't fall for it. Sora did not feel any hischabrus to Paroi at all. And so therefore this place, which was really meant by Paroi to create this bond between Sora and himself, which Sora rejected, now this place becomes a symbol of the exact opposite. Now this place becomes a symbol of the fact that this place is a place which rejects the outside world, in the sense we don't allow influences in, and we reject the fact that we have got to chavazach, we have got to connect ourselves with influences that we don't want. And so that means that this becomes an exemplar, a particular way of showing that we are on our own, and that we have our own way, and we have our own derech, and therefore it's a symbol of the rejection of the goyim. Yeah, haben die Glocken schon aufgehört? Yeah, have the bells stopped ringing? So it's the akshonus, if you like, of Sora that creates this hisrachkus, this distance, this safe distance and safe space, by her refusal to accept any attempts at kiruv at all from Paroi. And now we have the deeper understanding that Chazal tell us and comment on those psukim, that lefikoch yoshev Yisrael be'eretz Goshen, that the pasuk has this emphasis so many times, that Klal Yisrael should live in Eretz Goshen in order to create this rachkus from the goyim. And Sora was the trailblazer. She was the one that created this, and we still live in that particular way of living as she created, and certainly they did in Mitzrayim. Now, I've drawn this shir, by the way, I haven't mentioned it, from a particular shir that I saw in a lovely sefer that I have, called Mima Makim, which are a set of essays covering the whole of the Torah, taken from the shir of Moshe Shapira, Zatzal. And there's a part two to this, which I just wanted to... How are we doing for time? Yeah, a few minutes. Let me just tell you a few things about this word, The word Goshen, connected with Vayigash, as we've said, that Vayigash itself, Vayigash El of Yehuda, can mean two things, can mean a number of things. It means some sort of connection. It could be that you connect for war, the milchama, and it could be that it's a connection, the shalom, you know, to befriend a person. And therefore it has these two connotations. Now, we know that when there is a machlokes among our chachomim about agadata, there are different opinions, like in Pirkei Avos, we have, you know, is there a chacham, and we got different suggestions. We have Ayin Roya, and we have Ayin Ro, and Shochin Toiv, and all these sorts of suggestions that the Tanoim have of what is a good person, what is a bad person, and there seem to be a machlokes. So Podesta explains that there, in Agoda, there's no such thing as a machlokes. They are just emphasizing different aspects. One emphasizes Ayin Toiv, and the other one emphasizes Lev Toiv, and the other one emphasizes Shochin Toiv. So they're all aspects of the same thing, and they all mean that we are emphasizing a particular way of talking. So then, in other words, when the Chachomim say that Vayigash both means a pegisha l'melchama and a pegisha l'sholayim, it means that they're translating the word, that there's some sort of connection for a purpose of some sort. And therefore it can be both, or alternative sometimes. And we have the word in Hebrew, gesher, when we got this Gimel Sheen again, and that is connected, as you know, the way a word or a letter is pronounced, the G and the K, yeah? So we got Gesher connected to Kesher. So Gesher is a bridge. Gesher is a bridge, and a bridge has, of course, a very special function. That's right, it connects two things. So what a bridge does, it leaves each of the entities with its individuality, connects two towns or two parts here or a town to a river. It leaves each part, each side, with its own individuality, yet it creates a connection. So that's what it does. That's what a gesher does. It creates a kesher on one hand, but nevertheless it preserves the distance between them. The same idea as a pilegesh, we get the gimel shein again. Pilegesh on the one hand, a wife, but hasn't got the nisuin, so there are parts that are together, parts that are apart. Each retains its own identity. And this, of course, explains the Medrash above. And the point about this Gesher, the point about this particular place, and this Goshen that we're talking about, is that there is a bridge. Chazal tell us that what Avram established in Mitzrayim, what Sora established in Mitzrayim, was a bridge from them, from Avram and Sora, all the way to Klal Yisrael. So in other words, we have this connection remaining throughout those years, and the interim years, between Sora and Avram in Mitzrayim, and then Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, we have this bridge, and we have this connection, and Sora preparing Goshen for us meant that we could stay safe in Mitzrayim, and Taka the Eden did stay safe in Mitzrayim. As we know, the first of the koises that we bring on Seder night is the kois of Kiddush, and it's also connected, the four koises are connected to the Abor L'Shoyne Geula. And there's a very nice Meshech Chochma in next week's Seder in Bo'era, connecting those four koises, of why we have those four koises, and how the four Lashon HaGeula go together with a particular point in the Seder where we drink those koises. Let's just discuss for a minute or two as a sort of finale about Kois Rishon. Kois Rishon is Kiddush, which obviously connotes Kedusha. Yeah? Kedusha. And it also corresponds to the first of the Lashonis, which is Vayitzeis. What it says is that the Rabbi Shem could take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Meshech Chochma explains what's the connection between Kedusha and Vayitzeisi. And he says something which is just very, very elegant, beautiful thought. And he says, Vayitzeisi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, was because Klal Yisrael maintained their Kedusha throughout. They didn't allow their families to be mingled. And although the Egyptians had all the power, nevertheless, the families remained pure, except in one case, Shlomis Bas Nivri. But otherwise, the Yidden that were in Mitzrayim remained Yidden. There was no mixing with the Goyim, that there were sfeikas like at the time of Ezra, whether a person was Yid or a Goy. So it enabled the Rabbeinu Shloim to do a Vayitzeisi. He could do Vayitzeisi because Klal Yisrael kept so pure. And that's why it goes together with Kiddush, the Kedusha. Kedusha and Vayitzeisi are one and the same thing,
because wherever you find Kedusha, you find that the people are Nizam, they are Royas, and therefore Klal Yisrael could remain safe, and therefore Rabbeinu Shalom could bring Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And we hope, as the months go by and the years go by, that the Rabbeinu Shalom will see fit to take us out of our Golas, and that we, during the interim period while we are waiting for Mashiach, can create these safe spaces that we protect ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, and Klal Yisrael, that we will be with Zoicha to Abiyas HaMashiach from here of Yumei.
Thanks,